Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about. One of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting / kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup. Today's podcast is brought to you by newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird
morning.
Cup of murder.
One thing can spark a murderous rage inside of someone. On March 11th, 2014, a young girl disappeared. Though it took time to find answers, when they finally did, the motive boiled down to a sudden crime of passion. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Danielle Locklear was, at the time of her devastating murder, a freshman at Southview High School in Hope Mills, North Carolina. Described by her mother as a firecracker, in the summer of 2013, Danielle left her home in South Carolina and headed up north to live in Hope Mills with her grandparents and extended family. The 15-year-old, who was mentoring young children at a church youth summer camp, was looking forward to the new start at a new school, meeting new friends, and was even more excited to spend some time with her 17-year-old boyfriend, Jamichael Malloy. Beginning their relationship in June of that year, Jamichael was a high school senior in nearby Fayetteville. Everything seemed to be going really well for Danielle. Then suddenly, on March 11th, 2014, the young teen seemed to disappear into thin air. That night, she had gotten permission from her grandfather to go to a friend's house just down the street. But when hours passed with no sign of her return, her grandfather got worried enough that he tried to call her cell phone several times. With no answer, he went ahead and called the Hope Mills Police Department and reported Danielle missing. A search was organized pretty much immediately after the call, and a number of volunteers began combing the town in hopes of finding the missing girl. Billboards were put up, flyers distributed, and posted all over town, but no matter how hard they all tried, no one found even a trace of Danielle Locklear. Completely at a loss, when officers decided to canvass the nearby creek area, a popular gathering place for local teens, they found a sock that, according to her family, belonged to Danielle. Worried that she might have gone to the creek instead of to that friend's home, which was confirmed by the friend, Alexis, she did tell police that, though she did not see her during the night of her disappearance, she did spend some time with her earlier that day at the creek. Showing officers photos from their hangout, in the reflection of Danielle's glasses, they could see that there were two others at the creek that afternoon. One was a girl named Caroline Nuzzo, who told police that, according to Danielle, Jamichael Malloy had broken up with her a few days earlier. By this point, police were pretty sure that Danielle, only telling her grandfather that she was going to see a friend, had actually gone to see her former boyfriend. But when asking Jemichael what was going on that day in March, he claimed that he had indeed broken up with Danielle a few days before and that she'd been taking it really hard, so much so that he felt the need to block her from his phone. Claiming he had not spoken to her in days, when asked about where he was the night of the disappearance, Jemichael said he was at home with his friend, Dominic Locke. Willingly handing over his phone to detectives, investigators soon found texts in which Danielle told Jemichael that she was pregnant with his child. While this might have seemed like a motive of sorts, they also found texts to other girls which appeared to confirm that he was home, like he said. Back at square one, detectives began searching any and all surveillance footage from cameras placed near the creek, as well as subpoenaed Danielle's phone records, and began tracing her movements. Finding that her last ping was to a cell tower at 10:40 p.m., they combed through the area but found nothing of use. Calling in the FBI for assistance, images of Danielle were released to the media to try and help spark any new leads. And soon, the case went national. All the while, the family and Jemichael Malloy continued to hit the ground and distribute flyers. Then, after almost 3 weeks of looking, Danielle Locklear's body was found in the river with cinder blocks tied to her waist and ankles. Taken in for an autopsy, they determined that the 15-year-old had died of asphyxiation and that a sock had been stuffed down her throat in what was very clearly a crime of passion. And the spot where she was found was less than a mile away from where Jemichael lived. Focusing on the ex-boyfriend, police began searching the Malloy home and found cinder blocks and nylon rope similar to those found on Danielle's body. And finally finding her phone just a short distance away from his house, there was a threatening voicemail left by Jemichael. He was arrested and shortly thereafter, he confessed to killing Danielle Locklear. Saying they met at that youth summer camp, he said that they began dating shortly thereafter. But their relationship was filled with ups and downs, and eventually it became too much for Jemichael and he broke up with her. However, on the night of her disappearance, Danielle left her home with no intention of going to Alexis's house and instead met up with Jemichael to tell him that she was pregnant. Though later determined to be false by the doctors performing the autopsy, this revelation sparked an altercation between the couple. And when Danielle refused to take a pregnancy test in front of him, Jemichael said that he snapped, came up behind her as she tried to leave, and strangled her to death. He then went back to his car where Dominic Locke was waiting for him, and together they tied the body down and threw it into the river. Dominic confessed to the role he played as well and was charged with being an accessory after the fact. Jemichael, because the murder was clearly a crime of passion, was charged with second-degree murder and taken to court. Both boys pleaded guilty to their crimes, and after hearing the heartbreaking statements made by Danielle's mother, Jemichael, who was very close to the Locklear family, offered an apology and stated, "I know there is nothing I can do or I can say to bring her back. I do want to apologize for the actions I've made. I know sorry doesn't cut it, but I want to say I'm really sorry." He was sentenced to 25 years in prison while Dominic was given 6. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 12th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon, or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.